Hi, welcome to Zcast. This is my experimental podcast format where I'm going to just yap into a microphone about me, my life, my reactions, and I hope you enjoy it. I wanted to do a podcast for a while, but I've never really found a good subject to do it about. I mean, eventually I'd love to have people on here and do interviews and whatnot, but for right now, let's just keep it simple. Just have me, a microphone, and yapping. Today, I'm going to cover my background, why I do what I do, and I'm going to talk about one of my favorite series that I work on, and I probably need to work on some more. Imposter syndrome, not even once. So, as I'm sure you've heard, I'm Z Yasso. I work in tech. I started out doing back-end development. I've done site reliability, back-end, some limited front-end. What would you call, like, cloud systems design? I guess like systems programming, although I guess that's more of the Google definition of systems programming. And recently I've been doing developer relations and specifically content creation. So today I'm just going to cover, let's get started. The robot overlord says that the first thing I should do is talk about my background. I've been kind of tinkering with computers for a good part of my life. I think my first exposure was either MS-DOS 6.22 or Windows 3.1, something in that era. I had to learn how to use DOS in order to launch the games that I liked to play, and I did have some ability to write minimal batch files when I was like 6, but that's it. That's all I was able to do. Just open specific games and write a batch file to automate opening the games. I don't think I actually really started programming until I was in high school when I was working on the robotics team. And that was with, I think we started trying out LabVIEW, and then everybody on the robotics team was like, nah, this ain't it, chief. And we threw away LabVIEW, and C++ was a bit too complicated for us, so we just picked up Java. So some of my first code was Java running on a robot. I think that's the robot I ended up porting a lolcode interpreter to. Wonder if I still have the code for that somewhere. Either way, I have been programming for a very long time and doing a lot of very interesting and cursed things. Mostly because it amused me. Like, the idea of a t-shirt cannon running lol code is hilarious to me in a way that I don't really know how to explain. And because I've always been interested in, like, tinkering, hacking, and putting things together in ways that they shouldn't, a lot of this really translates to a lot of the other stuff that I have been doing professionally. Oh, where do I even start? Let's just look on the blog and find the first cursed thing in the list. ROG Ally and Steam Deck. Yeah, I guess that there is some cursed stuff there, although I haven't really done anything super cursed with the Ally other than play, like, gacha games. I'm RSS and Existential Torment. Oh, yeah, that thing. Got bit so hard by Mailcap. I swear, when I end up having those experiences where I encounter a really weird error, and then I have to spend, like, several hours going through all of the details to be able to explain why I felt like a massive idiot and hopefully create stuff that people can learn from in the future in the process. I guess it feels vindicating. I'm told that when people like me are struggling on something, it ends up making for, like, very hashtag relatable content, as well as, in general, just something amusing. And I've also been told that, like, me struggling with things makes people not feel like they have imposter syndrome, which is really interesting because in the moment when I am struggling with that stuff, I definitely feel like I have imposter syndrome, like, hardcore. I guess you people like it though. So that's something to consider. And this habit I have of just tinkering and messing around and finding out and building up, what did that one person on the Orange website call it? Machine empathy. Ooh, that's a fancy sounding word or fancy sounding phrase. By building up all this machine empathy, I have, like, by building up all that machine empathy and being a former SRE, still recovering, I have this, like, sixth sense as for when something is wrong and I can't place my finger as to why. And that sixth sense has been really, really valuable over the course of my career. It's allowed me to just look at something and then say, huh, there's either a bug here, I'm doing something very wrong, or some core fundamental assertion is off. And as a result, I tend to have a mental list of all the low-hanging fruit for what could go wrong at any given point in front of me. So when people encounter problems, I just start discounting all of the stupid things it could be. So that way we can whittle down to the list of actually exciting things. And to my dismay, most of the time you don't end up getting to the exciting things. It's always the boring thing. It's always forgetting to set an environment variable. It's always forgetting to put a semicolon somewhere, using the wrong HTTP method. Oh God, I lost like half an hour to using the wrong HTTP method yesterday on a live stream for work. It feels horrible. And a lot of this really just adds up and gives me the experience that I need to be able to do my job, to hack things up for examples, to be able to, well, my job is developer relations, and by having all of these struggles, I am really able to relate to developers because, oh my goodness, as developers, we steer computers around, and computers have absolutely no worldviews or like innate sense of anything. So practically, when you're writing computer programs, you're effectively steering a five-year-old through a grocery store, trying to come out with a cart that's not full of Cheerios, cereal, and, I don't know, ice cream. And at any moment, if you hesitate or give it the wrong directions, the computer will either do exactly what you said to the malicious compliance level, or it will just crash and do nothing. And I found that having all of these misadventures, and specifically having the misadventure and then writing down what I was thinking as I was doing it, and then how I solved it, that has been one of the most valuable things to my career in several ways. One of the big ways is that by having the experience writing things down, I end up being able to put one of my secret skills at work, which is that by nature, I'm actually a fiction writer and not a technical writer. So when telling the stories of what happened, I'm able to give it a narrative. I'm able to have like a beginning, a middle, an end. I mean, there's a story involved. And that has been very useful because it turns out that nerds really like storytelling. And that's why my blog is complicated enough that I have to be really careful about how I design it. Otherwise, it will just fall over and there's nothing I can do to stop that. It is really interesting to be in a state where you have to think about the design of your website because enough people visit it that the design matters. How to put this? It's a really unique experience. I wouldn't suggest it for everyone, but if you can swing it, it's really a unique experience. So, on the subject of me being a fiction writer, I have a fiction series on my blog where I invented a fake startup called Tecaro, which, by the way, Tecaro is the canonical pronunciation of it, and it is intended to be one letter off from Tech Bro. And when I write Tecaro stories, I try to have a couple of rules to keep it universally relatable and, frankly, to have people not focus too much on the details. And those rules are, well, number one, when at all possible, I do not name any individual product or service that Tecaro offers. And, you know, it's a tech startup, but you don't really know what it does, but they seem to have existed for a while, so surely they're making money somehow. Like, that's, at the risk of overexplaining the joke, that's funny, because I'm sure you can think of at least 7 different companies that exist like that right now. And that helps keep Tecaro relatable, because then you're not boxing it into one individual hole, so it's kind of generic, or evil contoso. The second big rule is that whenever I name technologies that exist in the real world that aren't relevant to the story, they get scrambled around. Like Google Meet becomes E100 Meet, or you DM people on Flack. Oh, what are some other good ones that I've used? Oh yeah, people also have DM'd on Y, formerly Flitter, and stuff like that. Like, just enough for people to get a vague idea, like Analog Brotion, but not enough for people to overly focus on the details. And I think that ends up making things a bit more interesting, because it leaves things up to interpretation, and, you know, when else are you going to write Anaconda code? Oh, Anaconda is a package manager, isn't it? Yeah, it's a package manager for Python stuff. I may need to come up with a new name. It's really hard to name Python satire stuff because most of the names involving popular snake species have already been taken. I don't know. I'll figure something out. I always do. Oh, the third major rule I have for Tecaro stuff, which I feel really encapsulates a lot of the... I haven't really found a good way to refer to this rule in any succinct form, but so Soylent Green is people. That is, in science fiction, technology is neither good nor evil, but it's what the people do with it that makes it good or evil. Like, let's talk about Star Trek for a second. Star Trek, they have this technology called the warp drive. And the warp drive is what allows the ship to go faster than the speed of light so that they can travel between star systems. And it was actually introduced into Star Trek as a writing crutch to avoid having to have episodes where the Starship Enterprise is just going between planets and nothing much else is going on. So the warp drive itself as a technology is amoral. It can be used for good, you know, like being able to move resources and people freely between planets so that people can be closer to the people they love, or you can have planets that are more specialized for different things like agriculture. But the warp drive can also be used for evil because you can take effectively an asteroid, accelerate it to like warp 5, aim it at a planet, and then you have a super nuke. Like that is an observably evil use of something like the warp drive. But most of the time, the warp drive isn't really used as a story to tell, as a story element to say like, oh wow, look at the grand things we can do with faster than light travel. The warp drive is used to bring out the fundamental flaws in humanity and accelerate them by having access to faster than light travel. Because if things are legitimately spread out between planets, if you want to take power, all you have to do is cut off like access to outside the planet. Soylent Green is people. The technology is not evil. The people using the technology are. And that's really one of the main things that I try to do with my stories, like in The Layoff or Sign, or actually I think those are the two ones. I have another story I'm working on that involves birds. I need to finish Avia and like give it a better name than Avia. Anyways, I'm not going to go into too much detail about it because otherwise I'll spoil it, and I don't want to spoil these stories for you before they're released. And even then, after they're released, I don't want to spoil it either because there's a certain magic that's lost when you don't get to experience it for yourself. But in the future, with the Tekaro series, I kind of want to straddle that golden line between, like, the Twilight Zone and Black Mirror. The Twilight Zone and Black Mirror are effectively two sides of the same coin, in my view. The Twilight Zone and Black Mirror are all about taking optimistic views of what society allows and then showing you the downsides to them and how existing human flaws are... No, I don't like that. Black Mirror and the Twilight Zone ride this razor-thin line between funny and depressing, where if you edge too far in one direction, it just becomes comedy and not relatable. And if you edge over on the other line, it becomes depressing and too relatable. So when you're writing something in the Black Mirror Twilight Zone vein, you have to be really careful and stay straight on the wire so that it's just perfectly balanced between funny and depressing. And that's the kind of stuff I try to do with Tekaro. I try to ride that razor-thin line between funny and depressing and use that as a vehicle to make satire of the computer science industry. Make sure to stay hydrated. I definitely am. So what I really want to do with this is I want to write a book and make it full of a bunch of short stories about misadventures in the Tekaro universe. I think I'm only like 5 stories away from having a solid draft. Probably going to find an editor to do a more professional editing take, and eventually I'd love to take things like The Layoff or maybe Avia and turn them into, I don't know, 5-10 minute short movies, because I think that would just be interesting. Be a really interesting test of my ability to do directing and writing and whatnot. I don't know. It's something for the bucket list at the very least. You know, thinking about it, I guess that the Tekaro series does actually help me in another way, and it's not going to be completely obvious at first glance, but the Tekaro series really helps me cope with how crazy everything's been feeling lately. Yeah, like, recently with the Tekaro series, I have been doing a lot of stuff in the vein of AI things, because, frankly, that's what I've been focused on for my job, and I think that AI tools, as they currently exist, are a great vehicle with which to explore fundamental human flaws around labor and cheap access to labor. There's a story I really want to tell at some point in the Tekaro universe about, like, Mechanical Turk or hentai, but Ironically enough, I have all of the notes for this story. I have a lot of the characters developed and a lot of the fundamental irony for it developed, but I can't actually write and publish it because, number one, that would violate the age rating I set on my website. And number two, due to kind of Puritan crackdowns on the kinds of content that you're allowed to put in things on the web or even on Patreon, I can't distribute it if I do write it. So I want to write a story about how cheap labor is exploited with a somewhat absurd premise, but because the somewhat absurd premise would actually help get the point across better, in my opinion. But if I do write it, I can't distribute it because payment processors are incredibly Puritan. And if that wasn't real, that would be the subject of a Tecaro story. I think I might end up doing something about influencers, but I'd have to rewatch that one Black Mirror episode about influencers so I don't, like, subconsciously copy it. By the way, if you haven't seen Twilight Zone or Black Mirror, just please go watch it. Like, the first episode of Black Mirror is probably one of the best episodes of TV ever made, and the Twilight Zone also has a bunch of the best episodes of TV ever made. And they really take the fundamental ridiculousness of modern civilization and just throw it out up there to fundamental flaws. And heck, the Twilight Zone is coming up on like 100 years old, and it still goes hard, and it just ages like a really fine wine because Rod Sterling and co. really focused on human problems. Like, problems between, like, what humans want individually and what society wants as an amorphous whole. And that's the kind of stuff I want to make with Tecaro. I want to take my experience as a technologist and turn it into satire of the technology industry and use that as a way to show off fundamental human flaws that, how do I put this? I want to just show off flaws that people don't know exist and how technology accelerates them. And in the process, do research into the, like, one of my things coming up, I'm probably going to end up making one of those, like, AI chat support things from scratch and deploying it somewhere just to see how people use it to be able to get a feel for how people interact with customer service when they're fully, fully aware that it is a robot. Because I think that, you know, scrolling through those conversations might end up giving me some insight that I could use not only to help me make better products, but also just to help target the satire. Oh, right. I need to register Tecaro as a company. Yeah, I need to do that so that I can, like, have the trademark on it. Because it would really suck to accidentally defame some poor tech company. Oh, I really need to do that, don't I? Either way, I hope you enjoyed this first episode of ZCast. I am gonna keep this simple and probably stop a bit early. I wanted to target like 45 minutes. This is probably gonna be like 20 minutes. I'm trying to reduce scope so that I actually am able to produce and publish this. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed. Just leave a comment on your favorite commenting platform with what you think, and stay tuned for the next one. I'm going to try to do these bi-weekly, and with all of the travel that I do for work, it is much easier for me to commit to bi-weekly than it is for me to commit to weekly. I guess I actually have to write some code on my website to be able to host this. I have to see how you make an RSS file with MP3s in it for a podcast. That's going to be fun. Either way, stay peachy, stay hydrated, stay safe. I've been Z Yasso, and you have been listening to ZCast. Stay fresh, yo.